Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to MV Talk Radio's broadcast of May 6, 2015. My name is Mike McCoy, and Deanna Reeder will be joining us shortly to discuss current events in Moreno Valley, California. You can follow our podcast by going to the internet site at blogtalkradio.com, and in their search box, enter MV City Talk and navigate to our show or to any archived show from the past. You are welcome to phone in and be on the show at 946-929-0610. Then follow the instructions given by the automated operator or email Deanna for help. You may email us at any time at stopvotesforsale@gmail.com. That's stopvotesforsale, all one word, @gmail.com. And Deanna will do her best to respond to your questions. Thank you all for listening in. Now, let's get started. Good evening, Deanna. Are you there this evening?
I am.
Hi, welcome. How's it going? Some people have been spreading rumors on Facebook that you disappeared.
Nope, I didn't disappear. And, you know, we were out of town a little bit for family, and Kenny was sick, but that was like a week. Anyway, no, I just been babysitting my newest grandbaby because.
You know how that is. We're glad to hear your voice, and you have some things to tell us about the May 5th study session. What was mainly on the agenda that night?
Well, basically, the only thing on the agenda was the budget, the upcoming two-year budget. There's the, I think, 15-16 and 16-17 two-year budgets that were proposed to the council. The financial staff had a sit-down one-to-one with each of the council members where they went over the budget, where they went over the two different two-year budgets they were proposing, as well as a 10-year out and 20-year out, I believe it's 15 or 20-year out budgets.
Wow.
And they're comprehensive. It was really interesting.
Well, go ahead and fill us in on some of the things that you really noticed about the study session. You watched the whole thing on Tube, and you said you made a number of interesting insights onto how they operate.
Well, you know, at the beginning of the meeting, of course, there were, you know, public comments, and they're back to 30 minutes at the beginning of the meeting and then everyone else at the end. So Melina's just a stand-in for, you know, Owings, which is funny.
I think that's rather complimentary, just a mere stand-in.
It wasn't meant to be complimentary. But I did notice, and as a matter of fact, I sent an email tonight, and I really haven't sent an email in a while. I've posted stuff on Facebook, but I really haven't done emails. It's it takes a little more time to do an email. And Facebook, you just, you know, post the actual agenda, and there, that's it. But basically, I believe everyone that spoke was a Benzivi supporter. And even if they didn't say that they were for the World Logistics Center, it's obvious that they were because they've said it before. And, of course, Sim, you know, went into to more details. And it's obvious from what these people say that they really don't know what they're talking about. But there has been a lack of people that are opposed to the World Logistics Center coming and stating that they're opposed, why they're opposed, what facts it is. And, I mean, it is comical to listen to some of these people because they obviously have no idea what they're talking about.
They haven't really analyzed all the facts on both sides and made an informed decision. In my opinion, they're just respouting what they've been fed to by Benzivi and his minions.
Well, you know what, and I've heard a lot about the video, so after we recap the meeting, we'll go on this WLC video, because I actually looked at it for the first time today. I had not seen it yet. I clicked on one thing once, and it took me to a different site. I clicked on it a different time, and it said video removed by user. And today I finally got a link that actually got me to the video. So I watched it for the first time today.
I saw it first now. They've actually made some improvements to it production-wise. I did see them when it first came out before it was removed, and the one that's out now, compared to about a week or a week and a half ago, is better quality and it's more concise and it's been improved.
Okay, well, you know, since I have no comparison, I was impressed. I thought someone did an extremely good job. So kudos to somebody. Now getting back to the meeting and the, you know, they did the presentations, you know, what the problems were, you know, what the different issues were, and it was the most comical part of the meeting was after the presentations were over and, you know, the city council members start discussing. Because, of course, you know, the staff presents the city council with the budget. The city council actually needs to look at the budget and then give direction back to the staff as to whether or not that's what they want to do or not. And so that's the part that we were at. Or, you know, that they were at. And LaDonna Jemson, I guess Melina has talked about a forensic audit of the city that's supposed to cost somewhere around $300,000. And this budget will leave about $170,000, which is, of course, a lot less than the $300,000 that this forensic audit, should they do it, would, you know, cost. Well, anyway.
I'm following you because to be meaningful and very detailed, they do need to spend the money to do a complete audit, or why do it at all?
Well, but the thing is, LaDonna Jensen's question was, now that's the whole point of a budget, is what we're going to pay for, because you have to pay for what you plan to do. So her question is, where is the money for this audit going to come from if it's not already in there and we don't have enough? And Jesse Molina's answer was, well, we need to stay on the topic at the moment and not veer off, so we can't talk about that.
Ooh, Tom Owings, yep, you got it. Yep.
But
I thought everyone was supposed to have a chance to speak. She's on the council. She's equal to the others, at least legally.
You know, the most comical part is that he didn't comprehend that if you're going to do something, it needs to be in the budget. That's the whole point for the budget. It's like he had no cause effect comprehension whatsoever. So did I say? No, I was at home. Remember watching? All I did was laugh.
That's right. Oh, shoot. Yeah. Okay. Mm. All right. Got some more laughs for us?
No, that was enough. Well, you know what? There was one other thing, and I thought this was kind of laughable, too, and that was Exton Gutierrez said he wanted some more specifics on, you know, where money went in this department and that department and blah, 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 blah. And so Rick Tykert said it was in the packet that you got.
Yeah,
we can go over that packet if you would like to, and I can show you where it's at.
I think
but
city budgets have been done that way for 100 years. So it's him trying to act like he's, you know. Go ahead.
I don't know. Someone that got a PhD, they send you a packet, and it's got all this information, and at least thumb through it. I mean, even if you didn't read every page of it, comprehend that the numbers are there, even if you didn't bother reading each and every number.
We've seen them on the website, on the city's website. They're published, and you can navigate to the section you're interested in. You can see line items and how much they're going to spend. It isn't that hard.
Anyway, so I just thought that was comical. I thought, okay. Anyways, but these are what Ido Benzivi, and these are who Ido Benzivi wanted elected, and so they got elected. And so when I tell people, you know what, if they got elected because Benzivi wanted him elected, they are not the sharpest tools in the shed, because he doesn't want anybody to up. He can't have anybody to because nobody would follow him if they had a brain.
I know. It's sad. I mean, this is going beyond just the world logistics. They're dropping the ball and fumbling around on other things. And those kind of statements show me, like you suggest, that some of them are just not spending the time. They want to look good on camera. They're, go get them, you know, let's ask some tough questions. But they really don't know what to ask. They don't even know what to ask about.
Well, you know, and then, of course, there was Jeffrey Gaiba, who said, well, you know, the city, the school district passed that parcel tax, and the people voted for it, so we should do a library tax, you know, for a new library if the citizens want a library. But what Gaiba doesn't understand is most of us remember that there was supposed to be the money for the library, and they gave it to Benzivi. And he's done nothing with the money that he was given. He's done nothing. I specifically remember Henry Garcia saying a guaranteed return on investment, because he's going to build that medical corridor once Nason goes there, and we are going to have these jobs, and it's a guaranteed return on. Remember that meeting? Guaranteed.
Yeah.
Investment.
Yes.
So our library money was given to Benzivi to put a road through his property, so that now his property is now worth more. We don't have a library, and they're going to come back and ask us to pay a tax for a library. Are they kidding? I mean, do these people like just really not comprehend?
I'm sorry, Jeff, but you've turned out to be a disappointment. And making a statement like that based on lack of prior knowledge and policy on loaning money to Benzivi and using those loans as an excuse that we're going to get some kind of trade-off or somehow we don't need a library. I'm so disappointed.
That made it a gift. It really did. It made it a gift.
And
so
it's more than just the road.
Our library money, and now they want us to pay for a library. I don't know.
I don't know.
You know.
Well,
I would say Roy Bleckert had the only really good ideas there. And basically, you know, he said, and rightfully so, if we spend every penny that we make, and that's exactly what each of these budgets does, everything that comes in goes out, so it's balanced. So there isn't a deficit, but there is no savings. There is no really crunching. Now, the only thing that I was very, very, very jubilant over is that employees will finally start paying their own pension costs starting this upcoming year. So, and you know what? I have been mentioning that for a while now. So I get, you know, finally sinking in, apparently.
Okay. Wonder how they swung that.
Well, you know what? Everybody you know, there's just a lot of different things that people have been saying about pensions. And so I think that so many people are saying it. It's a little hard to not face facts.
They're going to have to change for the new people coming in.
They should have been paying them all along. Well, what they did was, oh, the new people will pay them. Well, only the people that you hire now, but all the ones that are working there, that have been working there, we're still paying for them when they should be paying. I mean, when people have Social Security, they pay Social Security tax. You know, they pay a portion, and the employer pays a portion. On the pensions, the employer is supposed to pay a pension, and the employee is supposed to pay it, but we pay their portion. We shouldn't have never been paying their portion. They should have always been paying their portion, but they didn't.
Okay. All right. I'm interested in that because I receive a pension too, but through another organization that has the money to back it up. Anyway, would you like to go on to another topic? I think you covered a lot of things. I think you need to say more, Deanne, if you could, about urging people to come to the meetings and state their opposition and to speak up, because it's just been month after month now of just they're basically just saying the same thing more or less and not having anything to put behind it, like facts.
Right. It's the Benzivi followers who listen to Chris Baca and Louise Palmieri's BS and lies, and then they just, you know, turn around and say stuff that they, without doing any kind of checking out of information. But you know what? If you watch Benzivi's presentations, and I mean, I've heard Benzivi present stuff before. I haven't went to any of his recent ones. I know there's one on, the 15th of this month?
Right, I was going to talk about it shortly.
Yeah, you know what? And people are like, I can't believe someone suggested going. Yeah, you know what? We should go. Benzivi went to every one of the World Logistics Center information meetings that we had to know exactly what we were saying so he could fight it. We should have been going to, you know, a lot of us should have been going to his all along to see what was being said so we could fight it.
Yes. The one that's coming up is an invitation to the Moreno Valley business community. You know, I have a business and a lot of people do, but I'm opposed to his project. It's one of his Chamber of Commerce type presentations where he's got a pretty much of a supportive audience already, but he's going to have them for breakfast a week from Friday at the conference center there, which I'm sure he paid for. I'm hopeful that it wasn't given to him as a gift. And so there's a number you can reach me at, and if you're interested in going and listening to what he has to say so we know what he is telling people, you can get a hold of me and go to that meeting. Try to. You're going to have to RSVP, and probably you'll have to represent a business and just give them some information that you are a business person or interested in being one. Did you have anything to add about the presentation, Deanna?
No, just that, you know what, people shouldn't be afraid to go or think that, you know, other people are going to think they're pro-Benzivi because basically, you know, we need to know what they're saying so we can fight what they're saying because most of what they're saying is BS. And, of course, we know that the final environmental impact report was brought out. Now, apparently what they did was using Skechers as a model and seeing that Skechers had less truck traffic and such than they had originally said, they downgraded all the
air quality statistics, I think, from one.
Right, pack, as if they were going to be less, as if every building that could go in would have the effects of Skechers. Well, now, that's very interesting, and that's a double-edged sword, because they're still trying to use employment numbers as if it were a different type of a warehouse, and yet they're bringing those impacts down, and they still won't give actual employment data for Skechers. So what I like to ask some people
spoken
to do
years
is we need to spend a week next to Skechers and videotape how many cars go in and how many cars go out of that parking lot all day long for at least 3 days out of a week's time. So we have an idea of how many people that work there. I mean, one car, one person, that's one employee, you know. One car, two persons, okay, two employees. So, you know, it's possible that cars are not employees. But you know what? I need people that are willing to do that. And you know what? It's going to be monotonous. It's going to be boring. But you know what? We need to do it because we need...
Because they won't come forth.
Huh?
They won't come forth with the data that the community needs to make an informed decision. They're just concealing it. They're purposely hiding the information so they can put the whole project of Benzivi's world, so-called World Logistics Center, in the best possible light to ensure that it gets passed by the city council.
Exactly what they're doing.
Deanna?
Huh?
You know, it's funny that Highland Fairview is trying to make comparative statistics that bend in their direction in this revised EIR. But like I told the council before, I went to a real project that was all in the media, that one of the BMW warehouse over near Redlands, and I took those numbers, which were very generous to the employees. There were very many employees. And I projected that same ratio of jobs to square feet onto the 41 million or whatever is left over. And it came out that instead of 20,000 jobs, there'd only be 11,000 jobs. That's based on some facts. Yet in the promotions that Mr. Benzivi and Highland Fairview continue to promulgate, this misinformation may insist that there's still going to be 20,000 jobs there when that thing is built out. You can't pick and choose the facts you want to use. Facts are facts.
Well, you are if you're Benzivi and you have, you know, six little whores on the city council. You can.
Well,
three. Where'd I get six? I was reading something.
We're sorry, ladies and gentlemen. We got the number wrong yet. And I don't think she used the right word, but I wouldn't be afraid to use the word pimps. How about that?
Well, Nope. The word I used was correct. It's the one I could say political prostitute. That would have probably been politer. However, I wasn't in a polite mood.
I know. I know. You've been working hard.
Dirty food, what they really are. I mean, they got bought. I mean,
I know. But let's give some credit to Roy Bleckert here. He posted an email about that survey that came out. The hotspot for small business in the U.S. is the Inland Empire. And it was a Best Cities for America survey that one of our media outlets did. And it was very interesting. Biz to Credit out of New York City. And they called the Riverside, San Bernardino metro areas one of the best for small business. And that's quite a few places. And they had a picture of the Mission Inn on there, which is not really a small business, I don't think, all of its hotels and everything. But it beat out a lot of places like Las Vegas and Houston, which you think would be the mecca or the dream world for small business. So, Deanna, we have this category now where we're supposed to be number one. Where do you think they got those numbers from? Was it Riverside or Moreno Valley or Ontario, Redlands? Do you have any ideas on that email that or that article that Ray sent out, or Roy, excuse me, to everybody?
Well, you know what? I basically saw his email today, and I went through it really quick. I had not looked at the actual article to see where they got their numbers at. However, I would probably like to ask them where they got their numbers.
Mm-hmm. I might click on the article. I might click on the actual article that it's taken from and see what some of their criteria were. However, I've contended for many months that the type of warehouses that are going in Reno Valley, both the existing and more appropriate industrial areas off of 215 and what's proposed for World Logistics Center, that those are not going to be friendly to the small guy. You're not going to start a small business there. Those are major national corporations like Procter & Gamble. And we're proud to have some of those. But those aren't small business. So where are they referring to?
You know what, I like I said, I haven't looked at the actual article yet. I haven't read it. And some articles tell you where they got their information. Books tell you where they got it, and certain ones where they put it in scientific magazines and such tell you where they actually got it. I don't know about this one, but I...
If you click on his article, we'll show you where to check it out. If you have time, we don't have a lot of time to do everything ourselves, ladies and gentlemen. Need your help.
Yeah, there... Yeah, sometimes there's just not quite enough hours in the day some days.
I know. Well, we're getting near the end of our show, and I just wanted to remind people that June 11th, the Planning Commission will be hearing and taking statements on the revised EIR, Environmental Impact Report, for the World Logistics Center. And there's, like Deanna says, much to look at in there. We need you to pick a section that you have some interest in, like the traffic or the air quality or the jobs. Talk back to the Planning Commission and make a written statement, even if it's just half a page of bullet points. It'll sure help. You can hand them out to the Planning Commission. I didn't have anything else tonight. Deanna, did you? We have a few minutes left. We're going to be back May 13th, I believe, with our next podcast. Everyone.
Yes, well, I don't have anything from the next city council meeting because basically they didn't post.
not until after we're done.
But it won't be finalized until tomorrow. So lately the agendas have, normally they're posted, you know, supposed to be posted at 5:30 on Wednesday. Sometimes they're posted a bit later than that. But now it's been Thursday and sometimes Friday. And so I don't have that. I am trying to look at the calendar on the city's webpage, and for some reason it's not opening.
It's not opening. They could be working on it right now.
Yeah, it's possible.
To take it down to put stuff up there.
It seems like you would read whatever was there, and then after they, added to it, and when you opened it, it would change. But it doesn't seem like.
Anyway,
so I don't have any meetings.
That's it for me. I don't have anything else. I need to go, though.
Yep, I think that's about it. But you know what, people? We have a month for hearing at the Planning Commission, and then after that is the hearing at the City Council.
Probably on the 23rd.
You need to start showing every week. So I sent out an email and asked people when they could show up. So please, you really need to take the time to show up at these meetings and tell them what you think about the World Logistics Center or anything else that's on the agenda for that matter. And
yeah,
with
budget.
I'm out of stuff tonight, if you are. So we want to thank you. We appreciate it, and we will be here next week.
Thank you, Marina Valley, and good night.
Good night, Marina Valley.